welcome to the brand new Metal Hammer podcast. It's episode 161. Elle's laughing at me because I slightly did the intro differently to the first take. Who cares? It's episode 161. I am Mel from Metal Hammer. You're Elle from Metal Hammer. How's it going, Elle?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
I am good, and I'm especially excited because I got the brand new issue of Metal Hammer through my letterbox just now. Have you got yours yet?
No, I haven't got mine yet. I'm jealous. I want to see how it looks.
It looks fucking brilliant, if I do say so myself. Obviously, we're all not in the office at the moment, so we get our issues the same as you guys do, which is through our letterboxes. And the new issue of Metal Hammer, it's a special one because we've got the one and only Gojira back on the cover of Metal Hammer for the first time in, like 5 years or something. It's been a long time since we had Gojira on the cover. So they're back on the cover. We're calling them the band of the decade, which I think is absolutely true. And the woman in the studio with me right now, Miss Eleanor Goodman, had an excellent conversation with the Duplantier brothers about their fascinating new album, Fortitude, that we are about to dissect a bit later on in this show. Also talking to them about their amazing journey from basically being just a couple of brothers hanging out in a fairly nondescript town somewhere in France to being probably the most vital and important metal band of their generation, which is good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a very long but amazing journey for them. It was really interesting to chat to them about where they've come from and where they're going and all the things that have influenced them to be who they are today, because they're so unique. They're such a unique band, which I'm sure we'll get into very soon.
Yeah, definitely. It's a really great feature. And also, especially a shout out to our editor, Louise, who, you know, we're going to be honest, Gojira haven't always been the most kind of animated photo takers. And I think what Louise has done with this cover is just absolutely brilliant. It's so worth going and picking up for that alone. It is properly frameable, this one. I love it. So yeah, if you're a Gojira fan, you're not going to want to miss it. You're not going to want to miss the Gojira bundles, which we are unveiling very soon as well, so look out for those. But also in the new issue of Elthammer, we've got a big thing on Black Sabbath celebrating Master of Reality, which turns, I guess it must be 50 this year.
Don't make me do maths.
I was going to say it makes me feel old, but I wasn't born then, so it's fine. But yeah, we go inside the madness, the weed, the war, and all the craziness of Master of Reality. We're in the studio with Courtney from Spirit Box talking about one of the most anticipated new albums of 2021. We have a really cool feature with the one and only Corpse Grinder from Cannibal Corpse, who, if you've been paying attention to the Metal Hammer website recently, you've probably realised has basically established himself as the most wholesome lad in the world right now. We just love that guy. Such a great interview with him in the new issue of Metal Hammer as well. We got a big thing in Avenged Sevenfold, looking inside their most career-defining moments. We've got an epic feature looking at the 50 greatest cult bands of all time. We're talking the likes of Woods of Ypres, Bathory, Acid Bath, Tura Satana. Loads of great stories in there about some of the cult bands that have defined the metal underground over the decades. We've got Perturbator, While She Sleeps, Evile are back, Devin Townsend, Tetrarch, Wardruna. It's absolutely stacked. It's out right now. Order it direct to your door from tinyurl.com/gethammer or pop out to your local shop. If you actually don't know where you can get your local copy of Metal Hammer, go to tinyurl.com/findhammer and then you can find out exactly where to go and buy it out in the real world, since we're kind of slowly but surely getting back out in the real world here in the UK. It is really good, and we're going to have lots more to talk about with Gojira in just a moment. You've had a good week, Elle. You've been banging on about that Korn album. Not the album, sorry, the live stream. I feel like we should talk about it.
Yeah, I feel like I had really bad night's sleep for the last couple of nights because I've watched the Korn live stream two nights in a row, and then I was so excited by it that when I went to get into bed and go to sleep, I couldn't sleep because I was still really excited. And it wasn't even a real live gig. It was a stream. And I just was so excited about it because it was just amazing. We've spoken a lot about live streams, but the thing that really stood out about this one was the location. So this one took place in LA, and it was on the set of Stranger Things, The Drive Into Experience, which is one of these kind of immersive experiences where you could get in your car and drive into a Stranger Things experience and have various, I think, I assume from the trailer, various people in costumes jump out at you and that kind of thing. But the amazing thing was, it's on the top of this building. So there were all these incredible drone shots of Korn playing on a stage with the LA skyline in the background at night. It's so badass.
And the photos looked amazing. I haven't seen the stream yet, but even just the shots just looked incredible.
It's so good. It just couldn't look cooler. It looked incredibly cinematic, incredibly cool, incredibly metal. And then they had these massive screens stretching out behind them, which just had like the Korn logo and various visuals like lightning and waves. And it looks just so huge. And the sound was incredible as well. Jonathan was incredibly clear. It was the kind of sound you'd probably get from a live DVD rather than a show, which is kind of how these live streams are going, really. They're sort of turning more into kind of big budget productions, at least for the bigger bands. And just the band. Like, I'm so happy that Korn are still a band after all these years. And not just that they're still a band, but they're really enjoying it as well. Like, Head, obviously, the prodigal son, looks so happy. Fieldy was pulling all these stupid faces. They basically invented new metal, come at me. And it was just great because they've not gone shit. Do you know what I mean? Some bands go
They've kind of become like almost like one of metal's national treasures or something, haven't they? It's
absolutely.
Just like everyone loves them now, and every time they play a festival, it just feels like such a wholesome, fun, vibrant thing. And like, they're just great. I fucking love Korn.
And they're not a nostalgia act. The set list was really interesting for this show. It was incredibly varied.
Yeah, that was the thing that interested me the most when I saw it the next day. It's a mad set list.
Yeah, it was amazing. The first song was Victimized, which is from...
The Paradigm Shift.
Paradigm Shift. I love The Paradigm Shift. I've gone on about that loads on this podcast. And as soon as it came in, it just like hit me in the chest. I was like, wow, this is so cool. And then the second song was Cold, which is obviously from The Nothing, which we haven't seen them tour yet because of the pandemic. And it's just great to see a band that can bring out all these songs from the last few years or the last decade. And, you know, they obviously did do Freak on a Leash, Alone I Break, Falling Away From Me. But just to have all these other songs in their catalogue, because their catalogue is amazing. And then they threw in, obviously, I love Narcissistic Cannibal, Skrillex.
Tune.
Hits. But it was one of those shows where every song, you're like, oh, they're playing this song, they're playing this song, they're playing this song. And even though it's not a greatest hit set, I think if you're a Korn fan, it just felt really special and really brilliant because you're just getting to hear all these songs that you really love.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see it, but I really want to see it. I haven't seen the set list now because it's mad. I mean, bringing back Thoughtless, I've seen Korn live so many times, and I still don't know if I've even seen them play Thoughtless. Maybe like in the first couple of times I've seen them, and playing like Dirty Off Issues and a couple of tracks off Serenity of Suffering, which is really cool because that was a really good album.
Love that record.
Yeah, it's just like really, really interesting. It was basically like a rarities set list apart from a couple of exceptions, and I just think that's so cool because
I think it is, but sorry, I'm too excited and I've just talked over you.
No, go for it.
I was gonna say it is like a rarity set list, but they all, like I said, I think if you're a Korn fan, they all kind of feel like hits to you. You just get that thing where you're like, oh, it's this song. And you mentioned Thoughtless. Setlist FM said that hasn't been played since 2010. The last time I saw that played wasn't Korn playing it. It was a Korn covers band in a metal bar in Hong Kong in 2015. So it was like when I heard them play that, I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like,
actually, as well, just looking at that Setlist FM stuff, they basically played it a ton around the Untouchables album. And then they played it a few times in 2009, a couple of times in 2006. And they've barely played it at all since then. Like, they played it once in 2010. So it's like real rare song, which is weird because it was like a big single with a video at the time and stuff. But I love that song. And yeah, that was kind of the song I saw in there where I was like, oh my God, like, I'd have lost my shit if I was a show and they rolled that out.
Totally. And it made me... Yeah, I was so happy because, and it also sort of took me back to the memory of seeing the Korn covers band do it, who, you know, not proper Korn, but I enjoyed it anyway.
Proper Korn.
That was terrible.
It was terrible. Let's move on.
I'm going to say a hats off to Danny Wimmer because obviously Danny Wimmer does all the big US festivals and he's headed up some of these live streams that just have these amazing production values like the Pussyfoot ones. And, incredible fidelity.
heading up all those US festivals that seem to be having Mudvayne as a headliner, which is fucking mind-boggling, quite frankly. But yeah, we talked about that last week a little bit, actually, but pretty, pretty cool. Also had a Download announcement as well, speaking of Korn. Download 2022, looking very fleshed out. Unsurprisingly, to see a lot of bands that were due to play 2020 and or 2021, I guess. I'm losing track. But yeah, interesting lineup there as well. Anything to say about the Download lineup, Elle?
Korn on the Download lineup.
Yes, they are. So are Deftones. Who I know Elle loves.
Basically, yeah, two of my favourite bands. So that's good enough for me.
Exactly. So yeah, if you haven't seen the full list of bands yet, you can see them now over at metalhammer.com. But yeah, Deftones are on there, Korn on there, Megadeth, Steel Panther. I think actually further down this bill you get the more interesting it gets, because right near the bottom you've got bands like Williams, Twin Temple, Venom Prison, lots of exciting younger bands on there on the smaller stages as well. Lovely, lovely, lovely stuff. But enough of that. We're here for business, because there is a very, very exciting new album out this week, and we have dedicated the new issue to the band that put that album out. It is Gojira with their brand new album Fortitude, out on Friday via Roadrunner Records. God, I can't believe it's been 5 years since Magma. Like, it's just, that is, maybe we would have heard it earlier if it weren't for the pandemic, but even so, like, that's a long stretch between albums, and I feel like everyone's ready for a new Gojira album now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like we would have heard it earlier as well. And I remember last summer being out of my house during the easing of restrictions, and that video came out for Another World where they're in the spaceship and taking off, which is an incredible video if you've not seen the Another World video. There's so many tiny details in there. But yeah, it's been such a long time since we've heard anything else from Gojira that it just feels like it's time.
Yeah, definitely. Seven studio album, obviously. Longest gap between records as well, for sure. It's an interesting journey for Gojira, because like, I kind of feel like, for me, this is a band that have just got better and better and better, and they started great. I mean, Gojira are one of those metal bands that just have never put out an album that's less than great in their entire career, and we're talking about two full decades now. It's 20 years since Terra Incognita, and they've never done anything that falls below a very, very, very high standard. But I kind of feel like each album they've just got better as they've gone along. I mean, I'd maybe put From Master Sirius maybe above The Way of All Flesh if we're like being strict and ranking them, but they're kind of on the same level. And then from then on, I mean, L'Enfant Sauvage was astonishing. Magma was my favorite thing they've ever done, and the bar just continues to get raised for this band. And well, what do you think about Fortitude then? Do you think they've met the bar again?
Yeah, I think you just said a minute ago something about them not making a bad album. I might have forgotten your exact phrasing, but one thing about Gojira is that they just always seem to have had this integrity and always seem to have had their own personality. And this record is like a culmination of everything they've been doing for years on a really grand, ambitious scale. You know, they've always kind of done interesting instrumental things and it kind of takes it up a notch here. They've always done absolutely face-melting riffs, and there's loads of them on here. It's like everything that makes Gojira good is found here, and it's all bound up in this amazing sense of human connectivity. They've always lyrically addressed existential questions, and I've just talked so much about the human condition and what it means to be human and how our physical and mental health affects each other. And these are kind of deep humanistic topics that not all metal bands get entangled with. But this record really has this kind of greater sense of being part of something bigger, and there's also kind of a lot of encouragement in here as well, for people to sort of keep going and keep pushing on, and we're all in it together sort of thing. There's just, yeah, it's just very Gojira, and it's exceptionally well executed.
Yeah, I mean, it really does feel like a crystallization of the evolution that Gojira have undertaken so far. It's hard to gauge whether, because for me, pretty much every album they've done feels like there's been like a significant step forwards. And I don't know if I would say Fortitude feels like that. Like Magma really felt like a step towards the kind of almost stadium sized songs that they were starting to write on L'Enfant Sauvage. And don't get me wrong, because you have always written big sounding songs, but it just feels like they've really like evolved that side of their sound over the years. And Magma felt like another big step forward in that. I also felt maybe because of the context of that album, it felt like it had an even bigger emotional pull to it than anything they'd done before. Like songs like The Cell, I've talked about before, just felt like, you know, they were an absolute gut punch to your emotions when you first heard them. And that felt like a kind of big step forward in that regard as well. I don't know if I would describe Fortitude, upon the multiple listens I've had so far anyway, as quite as big a step forward. I mean, there are a lot of interesting things on here, and there's some interesting things Joe in particular is doing with his voice and things like that. But this definitely feels more to me like, basically, like you said, Elle, like a kind of crystallization of everything that's making Gira great so far. I mean, I love the way it starts. Like the funny thing about this record is that I think they've already released like at least half of it now. They've released quite a lot of songs on this album.
Totally.
So obviously a lot of you listening will already know about all this, but we'll go through it anyway. But Born for One Thing, I love the way that kicks this record off. Like the energy of it, the bounce of it. Obviously, we're new metal kids, so anything that's got a bit of bounce and pace to it, we're all about that life. And yeah, it's just a really cool way to start the album, because it's like it's been 5 years. We're not messing around. We're off to the races. And then it kind of settles into that really classically Gojira like searing, emotionally charged chorus. I mean, this just feels like a gig opener to me. It opens the album and it feels like it should be something they come on and just smash everyone with first song on for their show. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. It's a total Gojira song, like you said. Something that could just smash everyone's pieces. It's got this chorus about being born for one thing, which is basically death. So it's like, oh, we'll just open it with a bit of death and, you know, a bit of existential questioning, which is 100% Gojira. Yeah, it's a great album opener.
Love it. Amazonia as well, bringing out the kind of more out there elements of Gojira's sound. There's got things like the jaw harp in it. And there's like woodwind instruments on this track as well. It gives the song this kind of majestic, tribalistic feel. But then it lurches into this chugging riff in the midsection, and that riff through the chorus is just so epic as well. It just punches straight through you. So it's like these songs like Amazonia and Born for One Thing are really cool way to kind of start off the album, because they feel like very different songs, but if you kind of break down everything in them, it's still so quintessentially Gojira. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was this is one of my favorites. It might be my favorite, but I'm always hesitant to pick favorites just in case they change. But when I heard this, I was totally blown away. I just thought, wow, like what they've done with it and the way they brought all these sounds together. When you listen to it, there are so many different sounds and indigenous instruments, and they're referencing Roots era Sepultura, and there's so much going on, but because they're just able to bind it all together, so it hits you again, it just hits you in the face. It sounds like a unified thing, even though there's all these tiny little bits in it. There's like throat singing and stuff in it. There's even a little bit that reminds me of Mastodon, just the lyrics. There was just like the lyric, burn the land, learn the end, and it kind of reminded me of the way Mastodon sometimes use those kind of like lyrical couplets and things. And I, in the feature, actually in the magazine, I spoke some a little bit about how they talk to Mastodon a bit about sort of songwriting and riffs and that kind of thing, and that kind of stood out a little bit. But yeah, it's a really massive song, and they're writing it about something they believe in as well, which is cool.
Yeah, and they've obviously wrapped up a lot of activism in that as well, which is really, really cool. Obviously, Another World's on this album, which was a bit of a surprise when I put it on, because that was kind of like projected like it was a standalone single. But it's on here. I think it still fits on here. And I thought what was quite cool was that the first time I played this album, I hadn't actually listened to Another World for ages. And as soon as it came in, it kind of shocked me a bit, because I really recognised it instantly. And it instantly just sounded like a classic Gojira track, which is really good. And I think that's going to get a big sing-along when they play it live, because, again, that came during the pandemic as well, ridiculously. So it seems like it was ages ago they released that. But another Gojira track we kind of are waiting to see live, obviously. I love Hold On. I think it's just got such gorgeous melodies on here. I love the kind of picking that Joe does on these kind of tracks, because it gives them an almost kind of like dreamy vibe, like this kind of like alluring, almost meditative aspect to them, which is really cool. There's just such a deep sense of spirituality that comes through Kajiro in those kind of moments. But then it, you know, obviously leads to another colossal rift that just swings in and smashes you in the face.
Yeah, it starts out like the first time I heard this, I was messaging you and I was like, sounds like Wardruna. Like, it just sounds like sort of the neo folk metal movement. Very, very earthy and tribal. And just imagine everybody being in a forest, kind of doing these sort of earthy prayer chants to be connected to something bigger than yourself. And that's really cool. And then the rest of this one, like, this is the song that you want to put on if you need encouragement in something in your life. It's like the Gojira equivalent of Hatebreed or something. It's like basically just saying hold on and fight and keep on going. And it's cool. I really like the song.
Yeah, it's great. Newfound as well is another track with a massive chorus. I guess it's kind of in this next section of the album that things get really interesting, and I'm really... I mean, I know that the chant is out there now, and I've seen some quite interesting comments on it. What did you think of this kind of couplet of fortitude going into the chant? They're obviously meant as a duo, and you've got this kind of shamanic chanting chorus that kind of underpins the whole song. And I think it's the most interesting song on here. What do you think of this side of Kajira that they're really bringing out?
It felt like a big surprise when I listened to this record, and it went from Newfound into these two tracks. And Newfound to me sounded, again, like very Gojira and the kind of thing you would hear at festivals and you would just be really excited by. And then it just drops into this other kind of atmosphere. And Fortitude, the instrumental, again, it kind of links back to The Link. As we were talking about earlier, they had interludes in there which were very kind of primal sounding, and so I was like, yeah, this is cool. And then the chant comes in, and yeah, I was kind of surprised there's a whole song with this vibe. I think I messaged you when I was listening to it and was like, wow, there's almost like a dub feel to this. It sounds so different, and it's a whole song and it's in the middle of the record. But again, I think it really works. I think you know, not everything has to be heavy all the time, and they can do heavy really well, and they can do this side really well. And it kind of feels a bit like a bold move to kind of stick it in the middle of, especially it's followed by Sphinx as well, which is again another super Gojira song. You've kind of got this interlude and the chant trapped between these two massive heavy songs, but somehow it still fits.
Yeah, I really like the way Sphinx comes in, actually, because it's a perfect palate cleanser after the chant, because it's really chuggy, and Joe's vocals are really guttural and gnarly. This is like old school Joe Duplantier vocals on Sphinx, and it's just a heavy as fuck song. And I think it's, you know, like I have noticed. I mean, you know, you always get annoying vocal minorities on the internet when it comes to kind of complaining about stuff, but. I have noticed some people kind of complaining about the chant because it is one of the songs they've put out there. I kind of think if people are unsure about where Gojira are at in terms of still being a heavy band, just wait until you hear the chant go into Sphinx, because any worries you might have about their ability to still sound absolutely colossal just gets smashed into bits straight away. But then again, you know, it goes into The Trails, which is another softer track. And I think Joe's vocals on here are probably as soft as they've ever been. Like, he's really expanding his range on this record, and it sounds fucking great. Like, and it's something that I think any metal band with ambition probably needs to do if they're looking to fill major venues and kind of step up and step forward and establish themselves as a major player on the scene. I think this kind of asset to their sound is essential. It's essential. It's got to be part of what Gojira do now, and I think they pull it off really well.
I think Joe's vocals have always been great, and like you said, he's got that range. Like on The Trails, he's whispering. There are other songs where he's singing. There are other songs where it's almost like talking, singing. There's other songs where he's doing the death metal growl, and he just switches between them, and it's almost... You can't say it's imperceptible, because obviously you can perceive it, but he does it in such a way that it's so seamless that you don't really consciously think about what style he is singing in, because he just switches to suit whatever the music is doing. But when you actually stop and you actually kind of isolate his vocal and you think about everything he's doing on every song, it's really mind blowing, and it's, you know, just shows how much talent he has. You did miss out Into the Storm though after Sphinx.
Oh, I did,
It
yeah, sorry.
has that's another massive kind of banger, I guess. And he does that thing where he screams "Go!" And I was trying to think, like, who was the first metal band to do that? Was that Sepultura, do you think?
Possibly, yeah, possibly. I mean, it's obviously something Gojira have done as well.
Every
Yeah, it's
band's done
just
it, but I love it. I just, whenever anyone screams "Go!", I'm like, yeah, you scream "Go!"
maybe At the Gates in 94. When did Gojira do it?
We
No,
just
when did Sepultura do it? Sorry.
spent
Yeah,
a
that's definitely like a thing.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think when it would
Go.
be, and yeah, but it's just, I just love it because it's so metal, and they're not ashamed to be metal. A lot of bands of their kind of era or age will go off and do progressive metal or something, which is great, but Gojira are still like, no, we came from death metal. Here's some metal, and I applaud that.
I applaud it too. I also like the fact that the album ends again. If there's any kind of doubt at all about, like, you know, Gojira's ability to be fucking heavy, Grind is just one of the most kind of well-named tracks on the album, because it is just like this kind of grinding, dragging, lurching track. And again, Joe's vocals right back into the early days of Gojira here, like really heavy, really guttural. But it's still kind of peppered with these rich, soulful harmonies, and it kind of evolves into this really lush final third that just sounds stunning. And I kind of said earlier, there's almost like a weird kind of meditative quality to what Gojira do, because it's so spiritual and it just really seeps through everything they do. And it's amazing that they've kind of tapped into that, because, you know, they're a bunch of lads from a little town in France. They're kind of not really connected in that way. But it's, sorry, go on.
It's really meditative when it's heavy as well. Like, because you could say it's meditative and you could think, oh, you're just talking about the chant or fortitude, but it's through every single thing they do. Even stuff like Sphinx, Newfound, Hold On. I mean, part of that is probably Mario, who we've not really talked about, but his drumming is obviously incredible as well. And when he just does like double kick or a really complex pattern, and he just achieves that effect where it sounds like a sort of continuous holding pattern, it just, you kind of don't notice again like every single beat and every single thing he's doing, but it kind of holds you in this very heavy meditative state, which is a different kind of meditative state to the chant.
Yeah, definitely. I just remembered it was 95 that At the Gates did the Go thing with Slaughter of the Soul as well. I have to correct myself, or I'll give myself sleepless nights. So yeah, it's just this is just this a fucking great, 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 great album. Gojira don't know how to do music that is anything less than fucking awesome. And I think you know, that there are, as I said at the start, there are definitely some interesting sidesteps here. You definitely feel like, you know, Joe's voice, for instance, in particular, is evolving a lot and expanding its range. There's new things they're kind of tweaking and doing quite subtly in here as well. But overall, it just feels like I got the kind of perfect crystallization of a really great Gojira record. And I think in a world where, maybe more than ever in the last few years, to be honest, we've seen how huge their influence is, from like bands like Architects to Conjurer to a ton of like the young bands signed to labels like Nuclear Blast. Like, any band, modern band, that's kind of really heavy tends to have a bit of Gojira in them these days. It's cool to see the kind of OGs come back and just show everyone how it's done, because there's something about this band's mixture of harmony, heaviness, and spirituality, and like you put it the best, Al, really, that kind of human connection and existentialism that they kind of touch upon, that just sets them apart from anyone else. And it's just, fuck yeah, how brilliant to have them back.
Yeah, amazing. And they just are who they are, and they carry themselves so well. They don't have any kind of gimmicks. They don't say or do anything particularly outrageous. They just come on and play awesome music. And yeah, there's just so much personality in it.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting because I feel like for the first time in a few years, in metal, there's a group of bands, and like, don't get me wrong, they're at slightly different levels each, and they're all quite different to each other, but it does feel like there's a group of bands who are all at that point now where everyone's eagerly waiting to see what they can do next, and if they can start really staking their claims to headline festivals and break into the mainstream and all this kind of stuff. You've got like Architects, you've got Parkway Drive, you've got Ghost, and then you've also got Gojira. And I'm really interested to see what this album can do for them, because in the same way that we've seen Architects probably take a significantly bigger leap forwards sonically on their last album, you know, they released a record that we'll have to see how that goes. And then they got a number one album with it and everything else. And now we've got a Gojira album, which, you know, is a really important album for them, because when tours do finally pick up again and we can see where they're going to be on festivals and all the rest of it, this is probably going to be the cycle that kind of lets us see if they've actually, if they can actually do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. We speak a little bit about that in the feature, about the fact that everybody saw Magma as this huge, massive step up. But for them, it was hard to see because they were just on this continuous journey they've been on for 20 years, and it was all part of the plan. And Joe was basically like, well, we've worked this hard for this long, so if we don't have some kind of success, we've probably fucked up, basically.
Yeah, fair. It's not, they're not an overnight success story, are they? Whatever happens.
No, but you know, they did acknowledge that Magma had some tracks like Silvera, Stranded, that were a bit more accessible than what they'd done in the past. They weren't kind of long tracks that had all different kind of sections to them. They were more immediate. And this record, you know, there's a lot of stuff on here which is very immediate. And so I think that will serve them well in terms of newcomers to the record, and in terms of sort of picking up new fans and that kind of thing. But they haven't, you know, they've not compromised anything at all. It's still exceptionally heavy, exceptionally Gojira.
They are just like, well, we've said it on the cover of Metal Hammer. They are the band of the decades. I don't think there can be any doubt about it. Really excited to see where the album takes them. I know, I think I said that about Sleeps and Architects, which is a good sign, because it means there's a lot of really exciting, modern, cutting edge bands putting out great stuff at the moment. I don't know how this album will sit in their kind of in their discography for me when all is said and done, because I don't feel like it's quite grabbed me in the same way that Magma did. Maybe like the first time I heard Magma, I was like, oh my fucking god, this is giving me my album of the year, like I just knew it. And this one, it's kind of like there's never a moment on this where you're not thinking this is fucking awesome, but I don't know if it's quite hit me emotionally in the same way. So I'm interested to see how the dust will settle on that. I'm guessing I'm not going to get you to commit to anything in that respect.
Well, I think, you know, and we've had this discussion off air as well. I think with things like, with the record Magma, it was obviously coming from a place where they were grieving and trying to make sense of things after their mum died. Of course, Mario and Joe are brothers. And there was so much kind of rawness that you could feel in there. There was a certain energy that you could feel that felt very real and very honest, and I think that's across their whole discography, but something like that felt like this sort of distillation of it, and this moment in time where they're really having to get to grips with some of the things they've been singing about for years, and really having to think about what it means to be human and trying to deal with this through music and being brothers and what it meant for their family and so on. And so I don't think you're going to get the same sense of that through Fortitude, because it's not coming from the same place, but I think you still are getting the honesty. You still are getting the talent. So I feel like you might respond differently to each record, but I wouldn't say, I think it's just a different kind of way to think about it, or a different way to judge it. But maybe even in the same way you're talking about Architects, albums like Lost Forever or All Our Gods Have Abandoned Us, they were incredible albums that then took on new significance when you realised exactly what they were writing about. And so when they kind of came back and did Holy Hell, you know, it's sort of, you sort of had to recalibrate yourself a bit. And then obviously they've done For Those That Wish To Exist, which is kind of the first time they've sort of stepped away from all of that. So I think with all these bands, you kind of just have to look at where they've come from in each record and kind of judge it on that merit. I think the context is different, the emotion is different, there's a different vibe coming out of them. So
definitely, yeah. I guess as well, it'll be just interesting to see, you know, I love the idea of, which hopefully will happen, of people this being some people's first Gojira album, and knowing how those tracks will resonate with someone that's not really heard this band before. And I definitely think with some of the songs on here, you know, especially kind of like I said, the bounce and energy of Born for One Thing, the just kind of emotional epicness of Amazonia, and just the kind of, you know, how do you fit a song like The Chant into a Spotify playlist or something? Do you know what I mean? Like, where's it fit? Because it just doesn't really sound like anything else that's out there at the moment. And that's really exciting to me. And all the best bands should stand out on anything they do. So, yeah, it's a fucking great album. It is out this Friday. Fortitude, Gojira's 7th studio album via Roadrunner Records. And once you're done blasting that, make sure you read the brand new issue of Metal Hammer that's out right now, starring the one and only Gojira. It's a great read. We're very proud of it, and we always appreciate your support. That's about it, I think, for this week. So thanks very much for joining us on the podcast. We will see you next week. Take care of each other, and stay metal, everyone. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Metal Hammer!